It's time to get away. And to help get you there, it's Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. From around the world to across Georgia, she covers it all. Here's the host of Travel Bags, Anita Thomas.
Hello, 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 and welcome aboard Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, I am so excited for my show today, and first of all, thank you for joining me. I think that you're going to find it very interesting, too, because when you go and travel, what is one of the things that we like to do is buy souvenirs, a souvenir so that we can have the memory of the place that we have visited, maybe something special about it that when we see it, it reminds us of our trip. It kind of brings back those memories and gives us that nostalgic feeling of wishing we were back there. Well, when we travel to the low country of the U.S., South Carolina, Georgia, those coastal areas of both of those states, it's called the low country because of the area being low. It's filled with lots of marshes and beach areas are there. All of those things make it the low country. But it's also called the low country and recognized as a low country because of the sweet grass baskets made with the grasses that you can find in those areas. The sweetgrass baskets have a very interesting history, tradition, and way that they have arrived here in the U.S. The sweetgrass baskets go all the way over to West Africa. And the West African coasts where rice was grown. Rice was a very popular crop in that particular area, which is also the reason why so many of the enslaved Africans were brought from that area over to the United States. They were brought over to help with the rice crops and the rice production here in the United States on the low country area of South Carolina and Georgia, some areas of Florida and North Carolina as well, but mainly South Carolina and Georgia. And when the enslaved Africans arrived in the U.S., they saw that there were certain things that reminded them of home. And one of those things was the grasses that they used in West Africa to make baskets. And the baskets were used for things like stirring food, processing food, carrying foods and carrying other items, storing things in their homes so that they were protected and preserved. Also, some baskets were so tightly woven that you could actually carry liquids in them. So the enslaved Africans were very, very familiar with baskets, basket making. And when they arrived, they saw that there were grasses very similar to the ones that they had back in their homeland in West Africa. They started to collect these grasses and other materials to make the baskets that they used for various things. And one of the main things, the first known baskets in the low country, were called fanner baskets. And they were used in winnowing the rice, which means that after the outside shell of the rice had been removed, they would put it in these flat-shaped baskets and toss the rice into the air. And as the wind blew by, it would take those shafts or that covering of the rice and blow it away, and then you just had the rice there. And then from that fanner basket, the rice was then put in a collection basket where they would then have the rice stored and kept it there. So baskets became very important as a tool that was used in the production of rice as well as storing it. And as we know, that the money crop of the time was rice, cotton, and indigo, with rice certainly being a top part of the economy during that time. So these were really agricultural baskets, and they were made from, as I mentioned, from the different grasses that you would find. They were made from palms, and they would weave them in a coil type way and make different shapes and different sizes to fit what it was that they needed. In the early 1890s, the sweetgrass baskets really began to evolve from not only being agricultural tools, but also household items. So you see here, this was a process of it moving from being really something that was used as a work basket to actually something that was now a household item. And then later, as in today, it is definitely considered an African American art form. And it's definitely a collector's item. You'll find many people, when they go to the low country area, they are collecting the sweetgrass baskets that are made in all different shapes, all different forms now. So the baskets today are also not only made from sweetgrass, but you'll also see pine needles that are used as well to have different designs, different colorations in the baskets. And the basket makers have really pledged to keep this art alive as long as there are raw materials that they can use to do that. Now, as we talk about the Sweetgrass Baskets, I am sure that it has you more interested in knowing more about the Gullah Geechee culture and just what are some of the traditions that are held within that culture. And today, you can still find many of these historic traditions and cultural ways that were brought over by the enslaved Africans from West Africa still being practiced in the regions of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. All four states have some of the history of the Gullah Geechee culture and the people who worked on the plantations in those areas. The U.S. Congress has actually recognized the unique culture of the Gullah Geechee people, and they have created the Gullah Geechee Cultural Heritage Quarter, which is a 12,000 square mile federal national heritage area. And it goes along the states of, that I just mentioned, North Carolina, South Carolina, of course, our state of Georgia and Florida. And you can visit those areas in certain places where you will see museums and you will see traditions that are still practiced, festivals that are held throughout the year. And in our state of Georgia, you have Cumberland Island that is considered a national seashore that also has the Gullah Geechee heritage there as well. And of course, our Sapelo Island that you hear me talk about all the time and that my guest, Yvonne Grosvenor, who's coming on in a little bit, she actually lives there, and you can go and visit Sapelo and stay there in one of the Sapelo Island birdhouses. But what is great about this is that it gives you an opportunity to not only go and visit, but if you're going and visiting, it also says that this is a tradition, that these are heritages that need to be preserved. So when you're looking at places to go, places to visit, road trips to take, do think about North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and going along the Gullah Geechee Cultural Heritage Corridor and taking a trip there to just see and learn more about the culture and the people. You'll certainly have a chance to also purchase some Sweetgrass Baskets while you're doing that. Now, for more information, visit the website at visitgullahgeechee.com. And there you can see things to do, where to go specifically, calendar of events, and just the news that's taking place in that particular area. And you can read a little bit more also, too, about some of the traditions, like making the Sweetgrass Basket. And you'll see in my conversation later in the show that I talk with a master basket maker who lives over on Sapelo Island, Yvonne Grosvenor. And she's been making baskets for a long time now, for quite a few years. She's actually taught people, taught her children, taught her husband. She's taught several people how to make the baskets. So she is very committed to continuing the tradition and making sure that the tradition of Sweetgrass Baskets is kept alive and that it doesn't die, that it's passed on from generation to generation. And one of the things I like about Yvonne's baskets as well is that she really likes making them in the traditional way. She realizes that it has become definitely an art form and a collector's item for people to collect them and have them displayed. But she also likes to keep those traditional baskets, the ones that were the agriculture, the work baskets. She really likes that tradition to be highlighted as well as the artistic ones. So I'll stop now, take a break, and when we come back, I will start my conversation with Yvonne, where we talk about everything from A to Z with her involvement with the Sweetgrass Baskets. Everything from how she started, master basket maker Alan Green, who taught her how to make it, how she goes about collecting and harvesting the materials, how long it takes, the prices, all of those things. And definitely I ask her, why is it important that this tradition continues? And you'll hear what she has to say about that as well. Today's show is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses. Because, you know, birdhouses are not just for birds. They're for people, too. These are luxury cottages that are set in a natural setting, but they have all of the amenities of an urban cottage. Sapelo is the perfect place to come to find out more about the Geechee culture, meet some of the people that can tell you the traditions, the history, and all of the things that took place there on Sapelo with their ancestors. It is a very rich history that you can come and experience personally. So plan a trip and stay at the Sapelo Island Birdhouses by checking out their website, sapeloislandbirdhouses.com. So sit tight. When we come back, I'll start my conversation with Yvonne Grosvenor and Sweetgrass Baskets, the tradition, the history, and the cultural importance of keeping this Gullah Geechee tradition alive. Back in a moment, you're on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. No change.